Okay, hi everyone and welcome. It's John Gabriel, and this is week five of the New You in the New Year, 5 week transformational program. And this week we're going to be talking about the mind-body connection. And more specifically, we're going to be talking about all the different ways we can use visualization, not only for weight loss, but for other areas of our life that will impact us in a positive way and then translate back to weight loss. So we've already spoke about several different ways that we can use visualization for weight loss in the last few weeks. One is just communicating with your body that you want to be thin. That is, that you're using visualizing your ideal body is a way to communicate to your subconscious, to your animal brain, the part of your brain that's in charge of how thin or fat or thin you are. It's in charge of your set point. Excuse me. To communicate to your body using symbols that your ideal body is a thinner, fitter, ideal body. And symbols are the universal language when you want to communicate with someone that doesn't speak your language. So if you were in a foreign country and you had to go to the bathroom, maybe you were at the airport, the way you'd know where the bathroom was isn't by the language and the words, but the symbol for the bathroom. It's a universal symbol for a men's room or a women's room, and that symbol will tell you where the bathroom is. In the same way, you can't just communicate to that animal brain, I want to be thin, and talk to it. It doesn't understand that. It understands symbols. It understands a visualized image of the way you'd like to look. So when you make a visualized image of the way you'd like to look, you're using symbols, the universal language, to communicate to your brain that your ideal body for survival reasons is a thinner ideal body. And we've been doing that from day one in the various visualizations, is imagining the weight melting off of your body and imagining yourself in your ideal body. So we've been doing that from day one, using visualization as a language to communicate to your body that you want to be thin. We've also been using visualization to help reduce stress. As we've talked about, the type of visualizations that we do put your brain into the alpha and the theta state, where you start accessing pleasurable areas of your brain that are in charge of feelings of security and connectedness, and you start inhibiting areas of your brain that are in charge of fear and aggression. We've talked about that. We talked about that a lot in week two. And in doing so, by reducing stress, you're reducing the stress hormones, the inflammatory hormones that can cause your body to become leptin and insulin resistant and activate the fat programs and can cause your body to gain weight, essentially. So we're using visualization to reduce stress. We are using visualizations to work through emotional issues. So as we also talked about in, actually it was week three, not week two, but as we also talked about in week three, you can use visualization to create a form of protection around you, a column of light or a beautiful angel hugging you and protecting you. But in doing so, in communicating to your body that you have a form of safety, that you have a form of protection, and that you don't need the weight anymore. And then when you use that column of light or that imagery of angels or any other type of protection, and you imagine the weight melting off of you, in a sense what you're doing is you're communicating with symbols to your brain that you have a different type of protection, you don't need the weight anymore. We've also used visualization to work through emotional issues by imagining a different scenario from some traumatic incident. So if you were beaten up as a kid, you can imagine that the bully is getting smaller and smaller, or the abuser is getting smaller and smaller, and you just flick them away. And in doing so, you're communicating to your brain that it's not a threat, that the threat is not real, and that you are safe. So we've used visualization to help work through the emotional issues that make you want to hold on to weight as a form of protection. That's a very, very important, direct, and powerful way to use visualization. We've also talked about using visualization to heal digestion, because when you visualize the food digesting in your body, as in the heal digestion visualization, you are bringing blood flow, because your brain, wherever part of your body you visualize, and we're going to talk a lot about this later today when we talk about how our life force energy flows through our body, whatever part of your body you visualize, you're going to bring blood flow to. So when you visualize your digestion, you're bringing blood flow to it, you're bringing energy and life force to it, and you're healing your digestion. So we've talked about that. We've talked about using visualization last week. We talked about activating the get thin or get eaten adaptation, using visualization to imagine that either you're chasing something or something's chasing you, but in some way you need to be thin in order to survive, that it's about survival. And by doing so, you're activating the most powerful weight loss tool you have, which is the get thin or get eaten adaptation, which is basically your body feeling like you need to be thin, not fat, for survival reasons. And when your body thinks that you need to be thin and not fat for survival reasons, you lose weight automatically and effortlessly. In this webinar, we are going to talk about some other ways that you can use visualization for all areas of your life that will impact your weight in a positive way. It will translate back to weight loss. I'll just give you an outline of what we're going to be talking about in this webinar. One is eliminating junk food cravings. So we're going to talk about how to use visualization to kill junk food cravings, a very powerful technique, so that any lingering cravings you have for junk food, you can kill very, very quickly. So we're going to talk about how to use visualization for eliminate junk food cravings, for creating positive habits. So positive habits help make your life flow better. They help you become more productive. It could be as simple as cleaning your desk before you go home at night, or listening to a visualization first thing in the morning. Whatever that habit is, you can use visualization as a very powerful way to help create habits. We're going to talk about how to use visualization to actually improve the circulation of your subtle life force by energy, what Eastern medicine calls chi or prana, which is your invisible life force energy, which is the essence in reality of the mind-body connection. It's the interface between your thoughts and your actions. So, for example, when you have a thought like, I want to move my finger, it affects your life force vitality, which then affects the neurons and nerves in your body, and that creates movement. So understanding your life force energy and affecting your life force energy in a positive way is directly interfacing with the mind-body connection. It's the very essence of the mind-body connection. The more your life force is flowing, the more health and energy and vitality you have, the less stress you have, the less junk food cravings you have, the more productive you are, the deeper your sleep is. And in all of these different ways, it translates into weight loss. So we're going to talk about how to use visualization to circulate your life force vitality. As just like the way blood flow moves with your mind, so when you focus on a certain area of your body, blood flows to that, so does life force energy. So we're going to be using that to unblock areas of your life force where there might be blockages. Changing dysfunctional beliefs. So you could be at a point now where your body no longer wants to be thin, but you have this belief that weight loss is hard that could get in your way. Beliefs can help you or hurt you. You can use visualization to help change dysfunctional beliefs, and we're going to talk about how to do that. Increasing your intuition and internal guidance. One of the best ways to make you feel safer is to feel like you're guided, or you have intuition, you have an idea of where you're meant to be, what you're meant to do in your life. Even as simple as whether you should turn left or turn right at any given point, that's your intuition. The better your intuition is, the safer you feel, because you feel like you've got some sort of inkling or feeling about where you're meant to be or what you're meant to be doing, and that helps you relax, gives you less stress, helps change the chemistry in your body to burn fat. So we're going to be talking about how to use visualization and the mind-body connection to increase your intuition. Then we're going to be talking lastly about how to use visualization to manifest anything you want in your life, which will also help your weight loss. So if you want to start making more money and you can use visualization to help you increase your business, that's going to create less stress in your life and make it easier for you to lose weight. If you want to have a new job, a new career, visualization's really effective. I'll be telling you about some of my own experiences with that, and we'll be doing some exercises with that. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this webinar. And so let's just get right into it and talk about how to use visualization to eliminate junk food cravings. So the reason why I haven't talked about this yet, this is week 5. And the reason why I didn't talk about this in week 1 is because it's not the most effective way to address weight loss from the outside in by just killing junk food cravings if you haven't first eliminated the reasons why your body wants to be fat. So if you've got an emotional need to hold on to weight, if you've got inflammation, if you've got stress, if you've got something in you that's causing your body to want to hold on to weight, and you do this visualization for eliminating junk food cravings, you might not crave chocolate anymore, if that's what you're targeting, or chocolate cake, or ice cream, or pizza, whatever you're targeting, you might not crave that anymore. But what's going to happen is you're going to be hungry somewhere else, and you're still going to hold the weight on because your body still wants the weight. However, we've spent the last 4 weeks now talking about different ways of getting your body to want to be thin, which means that hopefully over the last 4 weeks, or certainly over the next coming months, if you continue to practice the action steps that we're going to be talking about, your body's going to no longer want to be fat. You're going to have less, or no longer want to have excess weight on it, I should say. You're going to have less junk food cravings, and you're going to be less hungry, and you may never need this specific visualization for eliminating junk food cravings. But you might find that there's one little habit that you have of coming home and eating chocolate, or passing a bakery and eating a donut, one little habit that you'd like to get rid of that you think is going to accelerate your weight loss progress once you've addressed the real issues. And that's the time to do the visualization for eliminating junk food cravings, is once you've addressed the real issues. So we're talking about it now in the last webinar, so that you can do it now or over the coming months once you feel that you've addressed the real issues. This is when this particular visualization will bear fruit, so to speak. This is when it will yield real results, because your body doesn't want the junk food anymore, but you've got some habit, association, or addiction. And you can easily use visualization to kill that junk food cravings or the junk food addiction. The way you do it is you imagine yourself eating something. You don't just say, for example, if you look at that picture of the chocolate cake and you say to yourself, I hate chocolate cake, it's yucky. What happens? You're looking at this picture of this delicious looking chocolate cake, right? And you're saying to yourself, I don't like chocolate cake. What's your brain hearing? Your brain is hearing blah, 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 chocolate cake. And that's all it's hearing. It's blah, 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 chocolate cake. In other words, it's not hearing the I don't like. It's not hearing the I hate. It's not hearing the yucky. It's seeing a visual image of chocolate cake. Your mouth is watering. You want chocolate cake. That's not how you eliminate, how you use visualization to eliminate a junk food craving. The way you use visualization to eliminate a junk food craving is you imagine eating the chocolate cake and imagine a repulsive thing happening when you eat the chocolate cake. So if you were to look at that chocolate cake and imagine that it was actually, you found out that it's actually made out of dirt or something even more repulsive that I'm not even going to name. But just do that for a second. Look at that cake and imagine that it's really made out of something that's the most repulsive thing you could possibly imagine that looks like chocolate cake. Now what happens? And then if you were to imagine, and this is not pleasant, so I'm not necessarily suggesting that you do it, I'm just telling you that it's extremely effective if you do it. If you imagine that you eat it, take a bite of it, it's in your mouth, and then you realize that it's the most repulsive substance possible, it's not really chocolate cake, you taste it, you smell it, you all of a sudden realize it's in your mouth already, you spit it out, you're getting nauseous, that creates a negative association with the chocolate cake, then you can't even look at chocolate cake anymore as if it's really happened. And the reason is, because your mind, as we've said several times, your mind doesn't know the difference between a real and imagined experience. So when you imagine that you're eating chocolate cake and it actually turns out to be something that's way more repulsive and disgusting, your mind thinks it actually happened. And so it will create a negative experience. You'll get nauseous, you will be disgusted, and you won't want to touch the chocolate cake anymore. You can do this with a sandwich. If you want to give up bread, I did this about a year and a quarter into my weight loss, I imagined taking a bite of a sandwich and seeing maggots in the sandwich and spitting the sandwich out. I couldn't touch bread anymore. I did it with sugar. I imagined sugar being ground glass. I couldn't touch sugar anymore. About every 3 months, I'd try it with a different food. Once, I was already losing weight anyway. So about a year into my weight loss, I'd lost maybe 55 to 110, 120 pounds. I was losing weight anyway, and then I started doing this. Every 3 months I started another food, and I got disgusted by it. So visualization is extremely, extremely effective for eliminating junk food cravings, and you can practice it on your own with any type of food you want, and it will yield very, very positive results. So once again, the reason why we're suggesting it now is because we're 5 weeks into, this is our fifth week, into the webinar, and you've had a chance to address some of the real issues. That's when this will yield really, really positive results. If you have questions, I will start taking questions in about 10 minutes. Dan, if you could please email me or text me and let me know if people are asking questions, because there's a lot of new information that we're going to be presenting in this webinar, and we'll try to answer as much as we can. Also, we have an Ask John coming up tomorrow where you can actually call in and talk to me, and then we have a wrap-up going forward live stream show in 3 days from now, where we talk about going forward, you can talk to me then. So there's going to be a lot, you're getting a lot of new information in this one, and you're going to be able to talk to me about it. But Dan, if you could keep me posted, or Shan, if you could send me a text and keep me posted. Actually, Dan, maybe you send me the text, because I'm not sure if I'm getting Shan's text at the moment. Okay, so let's change to the next way that you can use visualization that we haven't talked about for weight loss in other areas of your life, and that's creating positive habits. So our brains are basically habit-forming machines. That's all. Every single thing we do, sooner or later, is going to form a habit, whether it's a positive thing or a negative, whether it's a thought that you have, a feeling that you have, an action that you have, waking up and brushing your teeth, whether you turn left or right when you go to work. Probably didn't matter the first time you did it, but after doing it 20, 30 times, you couldn't even imagine doing it a different way. It's because our brain is basically a computer program, similar to a computer program, that is habit forming. That's all our brains do, is form habits. The problem with our brain as being a habit-forming machine is that our brain is very programmable, but our brain didn't come with a set of instructions. So we don't know how to program it. So it's almost like you've got this computer that's programming itself. And that's where we run into trouble. It's almost like the car's driving itself. So what happens is, we don't have our hands on the steering wheel of our car, we're going to crash into a tree. Then we take it to the mechanic, he fixes it up, we drive out of the garage, and we crash into a tree again, because we don't have our hands on the steering wheel. That is, we don't know how to program our brains. So let's have a quick lesson in brain programming and explain how you can use visualization to become a better brain programmer. So if you look at the way our brain works, this is an illustration of two brain cells. So on the left side, you've got one brain cell. At the very end, it says synapse. And the synapse is where the chemicals that are known as neurotransmitters get released. So when the brain cell on the top, on the upper left, wants to talk to the brain cell on the lower right, it's going to shoot out some chemicals. And those chemicals are going to be picked up by the dendrites, which are those hairy kind of things, on the other cell. Now, they may or may not get picked up. And that is really a function of how many times these two brain cells have talked. So basically, what happens is, if you have a thought or an action, the brain cell secretes the neurotransmitter. If it gets picked up by the second brain cell, if it gets registered, the second brain cell will fire. That will create an impression between those brain cells, which will make it easier to fire the next time. If it makes it easier to fire next time, it's going to happen again, which creates an association. Eventually, that's going to create a habit. If there's a pleasurable chemical release that's involved in the action or thought that you're having, it'll become addictive. You'll have an addiction. And the more you do it, the more these two brain cells communicate easier. They do not communicate that easy the first time. So when this brain cell on the upper left wants to communicate with the brain cell on the lower right, and it puts out the neurotransmitter, the first time, this brain cell may not pick it up. It may ignore it altogether. The second time, third time, if it finally fires several times, these two brain cells are going to be communicating differently. The brain cell in the upper left is going to be shooting out a different chemical that's much more reactive, and then the brain cell in the lower right is going to be much more responsive, and then they're buddies. So brain cells are very, very similar to people. And what I mean by that is, when you meet someone for the first time, it's going to create an impression. And that impression then is going to create, it's just like meeting someone and you say, hello, how are you, type of thing. That's an impression. You meet someone the second time and you get to know them a little better, it's like an association. The third time, they become friends, and you almost are in the habit of having coffee with them, playing poker with them, going out and playing sport, you know, playing basketball with them, whatever it is, you become friends. If there's a chemical, emotional charge related to it, such as a relationship that gives you fear or excitement, then you develop other chemicals that can create an addiction, and we can actually become addicted to people the same way we can become addicted to anything else. So if you look at it, as I'm saying, brain cells are very much like people. The first time's an impression. The second time, you have an acquaintance. It's like being an acquaintance. You meet someone the third time, you're friends. The fourth time, you're very possibly going to become addicted to them. That's the way our brain cells are. Now, we've got trillions of brain cells all possibly becoming friends with each other or not, creating these neural networks. Now, what happens is the more you do something, the more you create neural networks, and these neural networks are strings and strings of millions of brain cells going from one side of the brain to the other, creating a chemical release, creating a thought pattern, creating an action, and all through our brain we've got these pathways known as neural networks. Now, these neural networks are very similar to a path in the woods, and it's exactly the way the brain works. So if you understand this one concept that I'm about to tell you, you're going to understand how your brain works. So if you look at a path, if you look at the woods and a path in the woods, let's imagine you want to walk through the woods and there's no path yet. So you're looking at these woods right now. You want to walk through these woods and there's no path. Right now in this picture there is a path. Let's imagine there's no path. How are you going to get through these woods? It's going to take a long time. Are you going to go around this tree? Are you going to go around that tree? Are you going to go through this way? Are you going to go up and over? Whatever you're going to do, it's going to take you a long time, a lot of work to get from one side to the other. But once you've done that, you've started stepping on some of the foliage and making it easier for the next time. Now, the second time, you've mapped out a path. It's still hard, but you've mapped it out so that it makes it easier. The third time easier, fourth time easier. A couple of months into walking through this woods, you've got a path that's so downtrodden, so established that you would never even think of going off that path. And that's what happens in our brains. We have these pathways that we call habits and addictions that we would never even imagine going off of. And the reason is because it takes so much less energy to travel the neural networks that are established than create new neural networks. Now, that can be a good thing or a bad thing. It's a good thing if it's a good habit. It's a bad thing if it's a bad habit. So if it's a bad habit and we want to change a bad habit, it becomes a problem. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort. Imagine you've got this established path through the woods and you want to go slightly differently. It's a pain. It's going to take a lot of work to do. So what do you do? Well, if you understand the way brain chemistry works, then what you'll understand also is that visualization is like a bulldozer to create paths. That is that if you were to try to create a new habit, a thought habit, like thinking that weight loss is easy or thinking that that you deserve happiness or thinking that you will be successful in life, or just getting up in the morning and exercising, or getting up and visualizing, or creating something healthy to eat. All these positive habits, they take effort to establish, just like walking through the woods. If you visualize, if you're in the state of smart mode, which is the alpha and the theta state, and you visualize yourself doing the habits, you are creating those exact neural pathways as if you were actually doing it, and you're doing it in a state where your brain is 10 to 100 times more powerful. So it's like taking a bulldozer to create a habit. So why do I say it's 10 to 100 times more powerful? Well, the reason is because when you're in the alpha and the theta state, the brain waves that you're putting out are more synchronous. That is, they're moving more in sync with each other. And the size of the brain wave is 10 to 100 or is 10 to 100 times greater than the brainwaves when you're in the normal waking state. And because of the calculation for brainwaves, it's actually an exponential component. So if it's 10 times, so if the amplitude is 10 times greater, the actual power that your brain's putting out is 100 times greater. You're producing 100 times more ohms, what are called ohms, which is a measure of electricity and power. You're producing 100 times more ohms because your amplitude of your wave is 10 times greater. That's just the calculation for ohms. It's an exponential calculation. But the bottom line is, when you visualize yourself doing it, you're creating those brain neural networks. And they've done studies, for example, with Olympic athletes, when they visualize they're doing their own sport, their ideal sport, all the neurons and neural networks are being fired in the same coordinated sequence as if they're actually doing the sport. So when you imagine a habit and you're doing it in when you're visualizing, you are tapping into this quality. So what you want to do is, let's say that you want to establish the habit of waking up in the morning and going to the gym, as an example, or going out for a bike ride. So what you do is, before you go to sleep at night, as you're getting into listening to the visualization, as you're getting into that alpha and theta state, you imagine yourself you imagine yourself getting up in the morning, putting on your shoes, driving to the gym, or going on your bike, whatever it is, you just imagine every step along the way. You imagine having a great ride, you imagine the weight melting off of your body, you imagine yourself having lots of energy and vitality. And in this way, you will get up in the morning, and then when you get up in the morning and do your visualization, you have the same visualization, you will be much more likely to do whatever it is that you want to do. But it's not just about exercise. It could be you want to create the habit that every night before you leave work, you clean up your desk. It could be as simple as that. You visualize that before you go to sleep at night, that and when you leave, you're cleaning up your desk. You visualize it in the morning, and you will clean up your desk. Any type of habit you want to adopt, if you use visualization, you will adopt that habit. And so in this way, visualization is an enormously powerful technique for creating habits. So that is another way to use visualization to help you in every area of your life, which then will translate into weight loss. Okay, we'll talk about one more, and then we'll start taking questions. So another way to use visualization to create health and vitality and success in your life and weight loss is by opening up your life force energy channels. Also known in Eastern medicine as chi or prana, we have an invisible life force energy that Western medicine doesn't really acknowledge. And this life force energy travels through our body, and as I said before, it's the essence of the mind-body connection. So basically, have you ever wondered about this? Because I used to wonder about this a lot. How does thought become movement? To me, it is the biggest mystery in the world. If you just have the simple thought that I want to pick up my pencil, that's an invisible thought. It's not physical. Everybody knows that it's not physical. How do I move? How do I pick up my pencil? How do I take an invisible, non-physical thing such as a thought and create a physical thing such as movement? The answer to that is the essence of the mind-body connection, right? Because you have a mind that's thinking something, and then you have movement, you need some connection. So the connecting thing, the thing that connects our mind to our body, according to Eastern medicine, is our life force energy. It's an invisible energy that goes through our body that Western medicine doesn't understand, and it creates health, vitality. There's so many things which we're going to talk about, but one of the things is it's the interface between the mind and body. So what happens basically is when you have a thought, our thoughts are powerful. According to Eastern medicine, our thoughts are powerful enough to move life force energy. They're not powerful enough to move matter, right? We can't think, I want that pencil to move, and unless we touch the pencil, it's not going to move, because our thoughts, some people have powerful enough thoughts to move matter, and you can cultivate that power, but for the most part, most of us, our thoughts will not move matter, but our thoughts move life force energy. Life force energy is less dense. It's easier to move. So when you have the thought, I'd like to move the pencil, it moves your life force energy, and it moves your life force energy enough so that it activates your brain cells. Now, in order to activate your brain cells, all that has to happen is electrons have to move. It's an electrical impulse that goes from one end of the brain cell to the other. Electrons have to move. Now, life force energy can move electrons, according to Eastern medicine. So all that happens is your mind can move life force energy. Life force energy moves the electrons. The electrons fire the neurons. The neurons fire the nerves. The nerves fire the muscles, and then the muscles move. So our invisible life force energy, which runs all through our body, according to Eastern medicine, is the essence of the mind-body connection. The problem, as we're going to talk about in a little while, is that you can get blockages in the life force energy, which causes all kinds of health problems and stress problems. But basically, it's the interface between thought and movement. So we have this energy that runs through our body, and we have these energy channels. Now, the way the energy channels work is that they're very similar to our circulatory system. So if you look at our circulatory system, we've got arteries that are big arteries, and then we've got blood vessels, and then we've got veins, and we've got capillaries. So we've got these big things like arteries, and then we've got these teeny things like capillaries. They move, the big things move lots of blood, the arteries and blood vessels move lots of blood, the veins and capillaries move less blood, but it circulates all through your body. So in the same way, we have energy channels known in Eastern medicine as acupuncture meridians. We've got energy meridians. They're called meridians, and they move all through your body directing energy in very discrete pathways. We've got big highways of energy that are like arteries that run up and down your spine, And then you've got smaller capillary type energy things that run into your fingers and other areas of your body. So it moves with it, and it moves with your blood. It moves all through your body. And this energy is life force vitality. And it is life. It is basically life force. It's giving invisible life force to all the areas of your body. And that's what gives us life and vitality. And according to Eastern medicine, the only difference between a live body and a dead body is the life force. So a dead body, the life force energy is no longer attached to the mind. So the mind, according to some philosophies in Eastern medicine, the mind still exists. So many people that have had out-of-body experiences will say that they can see everything, they can understand everything, they just can't move their body. That's because their life force energy has detached from their body, and then it gets reattached and they're back in. But if your life force energy is detached from your body, then you're dead. You still live in terms of an entity and a mind and a consciousness. You just can no longer activate your body. So that's the difference between a live body and a dead body. But it's not just about life or death. It's about health and vitality, too, because we can have our life force energy attached to our body, but there can be blockages so that it's not really circulating through your body as well as it should. These blockages cause a whole list of problems. And in fact, according to Eastern medicine, all diseases, all chronic diseases, manifest first as a blockage in your energy. So when you go to an acupuncturist, for example, they might know you have a liver problem before it manifests as a liver problem, because the energy meridian of your liver is blocked in some way. And then they use these needles to unblock those energy channels, and then they heal your liver that way. Whereas if you left it alone, it would then become a physical manifestation of a liver problem. Then you go to a doctor and you take all kinds of drugs and medication. They're there trying to deal with the issue beforehand. If your energy channels are open and flowing, you've got energy, you've got life force vitality, you've got passion, and your body is young and revitalized. So blocked energy channels cause you to become weak, devitalized, they cause disease, they cause constant sugar cravings. And the reason they cause constant sugar cravings is because you're not getting energy. It's another form of energy. So life force energy is an energy that you need. And if you're not getting that, you're going to opt for junk food. So many of us are just not able to energize our body because we're not getting life force energy. We're not getting nourishment from nature. We're not getting sunlight. And in all these different ways, we're not nourishing our body. We're not getting real nourishment, you know, real vitamins and live foods and things like that. And so instead, we opt for junk food. So having your energy channels causes you to become blocked, devitalized, disease, causes junk food cravings, and causes more stress, which leads to a vicious cycle. The vicious cycle is your energy channels are blocked, you become tired, you become stressed out, it becomes harder to get through life, your fat programs get activated, and that leads to more energy blockages, more stress, more weight gain, more tiredness, and it's a vicious cycle. So basically, when your energy channels are blocked, it causes lots and lots of problems. So what causes blockages in your energy channels? Negative thoughts, negative fears, stresses, these all cause blockages in your energy channels, according to Eastern medicine, because what happens is your energy channels, out of fear, start to constrict. They're protecting you. They don't want to take the energy in that's outside of you, because it's fearful, means that there's something wrong with that energy. So your energy channels constrict, and then as a result of your energy channels constricting, then energy gets blocked. And that energy that gets blocked then causes more blockages, and it causes a vicious cycle. So if you can change to higher vibrational energy thoughts, which we'll talk about doing with visualization, we've talked about before in other ways. Positive thoughts are a higher energy. They're a higher vibration. They flow easier, whereas negative thoughts are a lower energy, and they also cause blockages. So higher energy is a little bit like clear water, and negative energy is like a thick molasses that gets stuck in your in your energy channel. So it creates a vicious cycle where your energy channels start to constrict and you have thicker energy in there, and then you create all kinds of blockages, which activates your food activates your fat programs, causes junk food cravings, and causes you to gain weight. So you want to be able to open your energy channels. And you can use visualization to do that, which we'll talk about. So opening up your energy channels creates a positive spiral. If you can open up your energy channels, you have more energy. you have less stress, you have more vitality, more focus, more calmness, you can work harder, so you can be more productive at work, you can be more calm and present in your relationships, you can be better with your kids, your body is younger, and you have less junk food cravings, you develop a positive momentum in your life. Now, before I talk about how to use visualization to open up your energy channels, I just want to point out that even though Western medicine doesn't recognize energy, life force energy, chi, prana, energy channels, there have been some tests that have been done recently that demonstrate that we do have this energy that we do have life force energy, and we do have these energy channels. And these are some of the most recent studies. And I got these studies from a book called "Genie in Your Genes" by Dawson Church, who's a great researcher who researches energetic medicine and mind-body medicine. And he said that here's some of the studies he found. So they did a study recently on acupuncture life force meridians, which we talked about. The meridians are where the life force goes, and they found that. That the electrical resistance on the life force meridian averages 10,000 ohms, whereas the electrical resistance on other parts of your body that are not your meridians is 3 million ohms, which means that there's a huge difference electrically to how electricity flows in your life force meridians as opposed to not in your meridians. And these meridians have been mapped out over thousands of years in Eastern medicine, and we're just learning about them. Other characteristics. The acupuncture points propagate acoustic sound better than the surrounding skin. They emit certain amounts of light and greater amounts of carbon dioxide. When the points are stimulated with a low frequency current, the body responds by producing endorphins and cortisol. When they are stimulated with a high frequency current, the body produces serotonin and norepinephrine. When the surrounding skin receives the same current, these neurochemicals are not produced. So clearly, chemically, we can prove and we can demonstrate that there is a difference between what Eastern medicine calls our life force channels and the rest of our body. And frankly, to me, it's just obvious that we've got life force energy, and that's what makes us alive. And it's just a matter of time before Western medicine catches up. But according to Eastern medicine and mind-body practice and meditation, you can use visualization to open up your energy channels. And the way you use visualization to open up your energy channels is to imagine light or energy traveling through your body, acting like Drano to unplug the energy channels. So one of the reasons why in visualization I always talk about a ball of light circulating through your navel, and I talk about being an ocean of light, and then that ocean of light running through your body and clearing out your body, is because your life force energy, just like your blood flow, but even more so, your life force energy moves with your mind. And so when you focus on different parts of your body, you're directing life force energy, and that life force energy acts like a Drano to unclog blocked energy channels. So if you imagine the white light going up and down your spine, going down your legs into the ground and back up again, going out the top of your head and back up again, going from one hand to the other, just imagine a ball of light circulating around your body, unblocking energy channels. It'll know where to go. Just imagine it going to different areas. What will happen is you will unblock your energy channels. It will allow much more life force energy to flow to your body. You'll feel a tremendous positive shift, and you'll feel life force flowing throughout your body and create enormous energy and vitality. I mean, when I look at myself now, I'm 50 years old, and I can tell you that I feel younger and more vital and have more vitality than when I was 30 or even 25 years old. And that's because I spend a lot of time in meditation, opening up those energy channels. I love doing it. I love feeling it. I feel energy running all through my body, and those energy channels are open and flowing. It makes me feel less stressful, have more energy, and less sugar cravings and all those type of things. The weight comes off easier. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, way to use visualization. It's just to imagine that white light. Simply the visualizations that I've created, imagine that white light circulating all through your body, and you are using visualization and the mind-body connection to revitalize your body in a way that you can't possibly imagine. Before we go any further, I am going to take a couple of questions from Dan Lane. If you could just, Dan or Shannon, text me and let me know how many questions we have. We'll take a few questions, then I'll go back to the webinar, and then we'll take some more questions afterwards. So let's bring Dan in.
Hi, Dan. Hi, John. Hi. Marisol says, I have been loving the four self-love and acceptance affirmation phrases that we did last week, the week before. I know these work whether said internally or out loud, but out of curiosity, are affirmations stated out loud more powerful energetically in regards to the impact they have within?
I don't think so. I think what makes them powerful for me, in my experience, is imagining every cell of your body saying them, because then you're bringing it into your body. You're bringing the energy and the vibration of the. And by the way, when you're talking about life force energy and positive emotions, all those four affirmations cultivate positive emotions in your body. Feelings of gratitude take away feelings of jealousy or sadness or negativity. You can't feel gratitude and appreciation and jealousy and negativity at the same time, for example. So it's a perfect way to radiate positive energies into your body. So the most powerful way to do it is to imagine every cell of your body doing it.
Okay, thanks, John. Megan asks, when you are imagining your ideal body, should you use something almost unrealistic? What for me would be a fantasy at this point, or a more should we have a more realistic expectation?
I think either one will yield results, but for me, I went for the exact body that I wanted to have, and it did happen. And I'm sure that anybody that saw me when I was 400 pounds would have said I was crazy to imagine myself at 185 pounds with stomach muscles. They would have said I was crazy, but I did do that, and it did happen. So, would it have happened the same way if I hadn't done the visualization? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But why not? I say, why not visualize exactly what you want?
Okay, thanks. Victoria asks, when you were talking about before creating visualizations to turn yourself off eating things that you normally crave, she wants to know, is the idea to never eat these certain things again?
The idea is to never feel forced to eat those things again. That's the idea. So you don't want to be ruled by your cravings, right? You're like, if you want to eat chocolate cake, but isn't it nicer to be in a situation where you don't have to, where it's not nagging at you, where you're not desiring it? That's the idea. The idea is to no longer desire the food, and then you can choose to eat it or not.
Okay, thank you. Victoria also asks, using visualizations, will they always create smart mode, or do you have to do something else?
Well, the guided visualizations that I do put you in smart mode for a couple of reasons. One, because the music in the background has a frequency following response in it that causes your brain to become entrained with the frequency, and that puts you in the alpha and the theta state. And then as I'm talking you through the visualization, the more into it you're getting, you're going to get into that state deeper. So no, you don't always get into it, but what you do is get better and better at getting it into it, because for the same reason as we talked about brain chemistry earlier in this class, you actually develop neural networks to access the alpha and the theta state. So for me, I can close my eyes and go into an REM theta state very, very quickly, and that's not because I'm some sort of superhuman, but I practice lots and lots of meditation, and so I've wired my brain that way. So you will get better and better at getting into smart mode quicker and quicker simply by practicing.
Okay. Well, this is a fairly common question, but Maureen asks, could you describe how we actually get into smart mode again?
There's lots of ways to get into smart mode. So smart mode is the alpha and the theta state of consciousness. You can be in smart mode. Let's say you're watching the Olympics and somebody's doing this amazing gymnastics routine and you are thoughtless, totally focused on that instant because it's so captivating. You're in smart mode. You're in the alpha state. Whenever you're in a place where you're calm and more centered and more focused, you're in the alpha state. If you're getting a great massage and your mind starts to calm down and all you can feel is how beautiful it feels, you're in smart mode. If you're walking in nature and you start to feel peace and harmony and your mind calms down, you're in smart mode. If you do a guided visualization where you relax your neck, you relax your back, you relax your arms, you do a guided relaxation, you'll get into smart mode. Anytime you're just so focused, relaxed, calm, that's getting into smart mode. And there's deeper and deeper levels of that. So when I do a visualization, I always imagine the white light going through your body, relaxing you, letting you go, circulating the life force vitality, using the music, and all those things together put you into smart mode. You can do it yourself simply by telling yourself to relax your body from the top to the bottom or the bottom to the top. Imagine relaxing your feet and having them melt into the ground and then your legs. And imagine your legs relaxing and your stomach. Guiding yourself through a relaxation process will also put you in that state. And you'll know when you're in the state when you're just a little bit more calmer, your mind's not running all over the place.
Okay. Williams says he would like to hear more information on eliminating the negative spiral and creating a positive spiral.
So with the one we talked about with the life force energy, by doing those affirmations that Marisol is talking about in your visualization, radiating positive emotions, that's one way to open up your energy channels, because you're creating a lighter, less dense energy that can run through your channels and making you feel safe, so your energy channels are opening up, they're not constricting. And then by you imagining a white light traveling through your body and unblocking all your channels and your energy, and having energy like an ocean of white light, like our visualization, just flowing through every aspect of your body, so your whole body is just one glowing ocean of life force vitality, that's going to unblock your energy channels. All those things, from a life force perspective, are going to create that positive cycle and create life force that's flowing through your body, and then you'll notice that you're starting to crave healthier foods, you have more energy, you're not getting tired, the weight's coming off easier, you're more productive at work, you have more energy to exercise, etc. That will create the positive momentum and the positive cycle.
Okay, thanks. Ellen says, do we do the visualization of exercising after the evening visualization we already have?
I would recommend that you do it while it's starting. So if you listen to the evening visualization, there's a certain point where I say, just take a moment to visualize your ideal day tomorrow. Just do it, and just do it in that 30 seconds right there. You can do it in more detail if you want, and pause the visualization if you want to do it in more detail. But just take 30 seconds to see yourself driving to the gym or putting on your bike shoes or whatever it is, having a great workout. That's all you need to do.
Okay. Nancy asks, the visualizations that you supply are to music, but ones we would do for ourselves would they be just as powerful? Or would you recommend we make our own to music or buy some for specific goals?
Yeah, so the music helps, but it's not essential. So you can try to do it on your own without it. Having it be in your own voice will make it more powerful, for sure. It can make it more powerful, not necessarily, but it can. And if you want to put music behind it, we have smart music that you can overlay it on, and pretty easily, and then you can make your own. It's really up to you and to see what works best for you.
Okay, thank you. Anne asks, does chi come into the body in the third chakra, then circulate as a torus?
Yeah, so according to the Eastern medicine, there's lots of different types of chi. There's chi that we're born with, which is called Jing Chi. There's chi that we get from our food, from air, from sunlight, from love, from nature, and it can come in lots of different ways. It can come in through the pores of our skin. It can come in through our eyes, like sunlight chi can come in through our eyes and our skin. It can come in through the air we breathe. Our sexual energy is a form of chi. And all of these things, when you become really adept at it, you can mix them. So one of the things that one practice that certain Taoist and energy medicine experts do is they breathe. They use breathing. They use mind. They use their own internal energies, like their sexual energies and their other and heart energies. They mix them all together, and they create a life force, a very solid life force energy that then they use to energize their kidneys and their bones. There's so many layers you can do it. There's so many levels and levels to it. It's really quite fascinating, actually. But to answer your question, the answer is yes and no, because there's lots of different ways that chi comes to us, and there's lots of different types of chi.
Okay. Pat's asked a very interesting question. John, did you work with an acupuncturist in the beginning or during your weight loss?
No, I never worked with an acupuncturist, but I did work with people that do a type of Taoist meditation, which works on the same paradigm of energy medicine and having life force channels. And I did meditations and visualizations similar to the ones that I make that circulate life force energy. So I did do a lot of work that way.
Okay.
I just didn't do it with the actual needles.
Okay. Some people don't like them.
Yeah, you don't need the needles, because your mind moves the energy, and it's much more effective to do it yourself. And it's really, it's an amazing thing when you see the cause and the cause and effect relationship of having a good meditation that unblocks your energy channels and how the rest of your day flows. It's quite amazing. It's almost like when your energy is flowing, your life's flowing. And then, and that becomes very empowering, because most of us are at the whim of the news, the daily news, their boss, and we're just victims of everything. Whereas when we recognize that inside us we have this invisible life force that we can affect, and when it starts flowing, our life is flowing, it makes you become much more internal and regain that power and focus that power on yourself, and then a positive momentum develops that you have total control over, because it's strictly a function of how much attention you want to give to revitalizing your body.
I suppose that's where intuition comes into play as well. You start to trust it a bit more.
We'll talk about that, actually.
Laura says, asks, how long will it take for daily meditation and visualization to start making a noticeable difference?
It can happen immediately, absolutely immediately, even within minutes.
Okay. How long does it typically take to become better at meditation and visualization through regular practice? I realize this is an individual thing, but maybe there is an average.
Okay, so me, years and years down the road, what I've discovered is there's an exponential component to it. In other words, you get better slowly in the beginning, and you get better quicker and quicker over time. So the meditations that I do now are way better than they were 6 months ago. And it's an exponential thing, and that's because the power that I'm generating and the focus that I'm generating and the depth and the amount of energy that I'm able to move and the capacity of my body to channel that energy is so much greater than it was 6 months ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. So it starts out, if you look at the typical graph of an exponential curve where it starts out slow and then goes straight up into the air, that's a little bit what it's like. It's slow going, laying the foundation. Think of it in the same way as the path through the woods. So the path through the woods is slow going, and then it just gets deeper and deeper very quickly.
Okay. Donna asks, does OMT or osteomanipulation therapy work like acupuncture?
I don't know. Osteopaths are very effective in the way they're identifying, releasing blockages, and I think that their paradigm is similar in that what they are doing is releasing energy blockages, but I'm not familiar enough with the treatments and the medications and the way they approach it to say.
Okay. Laura asks, how old were you when you lost all the weight?
I was 40.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Victoria says, could you explain how to use the different visualization? I'm not sure.
Okay, so let me come back to Victoria's. Let me come back to Victoria's questions at the end. We can talk about that. I'd like you to ask me that question again, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Let's keep it at that. And let me keep going, because we're actually running out of time for the webinar, and then we'll stay on to ask some questions. But I want to try to conclude the webinar on time or close to on time. We're going to go probably a few minutes over. But let's keep going now, and then ask me that question again. Okay.
Yep. Sure. I will do, John.
All right,
thanks.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so let's turn to another way that we can use visualization, and that's to change dysfunctional beliefs. So beliefs are very, very powerful. And if you look at placebo studies, now we were just realizing how powerful beliefs are, because I've been reading lots of different placebo studies, and there's placebo studies, for example, where they test an antidepressant, say, and the antidepressant is supposed to elevate dopamine levels. So they give one group of people the real antidepressant, and they give another a group of people a fake antidepressant, and the fake antidepressant elevates dopamine levels the same way. So when you believe your dopamine levels are being elevated, you just simply by having that belief, you're causing an electrical, chemical, neuronal experience that's very similar to the drug that you're taking. So our beliefs, just like our thoughts, have the ability to change brain chemistry. Our beliefs and our thoughts have the ability to change other aspects of our lives. So there's other placebo studies, for example, where they did a study with cancer patients where 30% of the cancer patients in a study were not really getting chemotherapy, they were getting a fake chemotherapy. And of that group that was getting the fake chemotherapy, a third of them actually lost their hair. So here are people that thought they were getting chemotherapy, they were not getting chemotherapy, they lost their hair simply because of a belief. So a belief can cause you to lose your hair. Another study that they did with knee surgery, where they took three groups of people to see which knee surgery is best. So group A had one type of knee surgery, group B had another type of knee surgery, group C had no knee surgery, they faked the knee surgery. So they cut the knee, they cut the skin open, they sewed it back up, and they said, you just had knee surgery. The group that had no knee surgery recovered and healed their knees as well as the other group, which means that our beliefs have the power to cure structural issues. So if you look at all these things, what it says is our beliefs can change brain chemistry, our beliefs can change body hair on your body, it can change structural things. So that's how powerful our beliefs are to heal our body or hurt our body. It's also to hurt our body. So there's an example that Deepak Chopra talks about, a placebo example. Well, it's not really a placebo, it's a nocebo. A nocebo is the exact opposite. When your doctor says you've got 6 months to live and you end up dying because you believe your doctor, that's called a nocebo. That's using the power of your beliefs against you. So there was a situation, one of Deepak Chopra's own clients went to a doctor and got a chest x-ray. And the chest x-ray showed cancer, a cancerous spot on the lungs. The doctor said, you've got 6 months to live. The patient died 6 months later. Deepak Chopra was working with a bunch of people that were cleaning out his office. He was friends with them, whatever it was. He found another x-ray that was taken 20 years earlier. And the x-ray that was taken 20 years earlier showed the same cancerous spot on their lungs. He just didn't know it. But it wasn't until the doctor said, you've got 6 months left to live, that he ended up dying because he used the power of his beliefs and he ended up dying. And there's other examples of how people have used the power of their beliefs to die. In Australia, in the Aboriginal culture, they've got something called pointing of the bone. So a healer or a shaman will, if somebody's been out of line in socially, they will take this specific bone and they will point it at the person. The person will get very sick and die. Basically using the power of their beliefs that this is what's going to happen to cause them to die. So our beliefs can cause us to die. Our beliefs can cause changes in our brain chemistry. Our beliefs can cause us to gain or lose hair, and our beliefs can cause us to have knee surgeries. So in all these different ways, our beliefs are extremely powerful. Now, in the same way, when it comes to weight loss, our beliefs can cause us to gain or lose weight. And for many of us, we have developed the belief that weight loss is hard. So, and that's understandable because when you've had years of trying to lose weight the wrong way through a flawed paradigm. And what's the flawed paradigm? The flawed paradigm is that you can lose weight by forcing yourself to lose weight, by forcing yourself to eat less and forcing yourself to exercise more and force, and not respecting the fact that the body can fight back and the body can beat you in that fight. That's the flaw. That's the old flawed paradigm. When you try to lose weight that way, it's a little bit like trying to walk through a sliding glass door that's closed where you don't know that there's a sliding glass door. So when you don't know there's a sliding glass door, every time you try to walk through, you're going to hit your head. You're going to hit your head so many times that you're going to develop the opinion that you cannot walk through this door. And unfortunately, many people have developed the belief that they cannot lose weight because they've been going about it the wrong way so many times. So that they have developed the idea that they're genetically meant to be fat, their parents fat, whatever the stories are, they can't lose weight, their hormones, everybody says my hormones, my thyroid, whatever it is, they've got a story and a belief that they can't lose weight. And that's simply because you've been doing it the wrong way. Now, when you start losing weight the right way, that is by getting your body to actually want to be thin, and again, maybe it doesn't happen immediately, it could take months and months and months of work, whatever it is, but when you do that, when your body does indeed actually want to be thin, it has the same effect as opening up a sliding glass door. So if you were to open up this sliding glass door that you didn't even know was there anyway, and you tried to walk through it, you might think you're going to hit your head. It's actually the easiest thing in the world. There's nothing hard about it because the door's gone. Well, losing weight the correct way is the same. When your body wants to be thin, it is the easiest thing in the world. I have lived through it. I've lived through the struggle and the pain of trying to lose weight the wrong way, and I have lived through losing weight when my body wants to be thin, and so have thousands of people all over the world. Now, but what can happen is your belief system can get in the way. So if you still believe that weight loss is hard, you're genetically fat, blah, 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 all these different things, you're going to get in your own way. Your beliefs are going to get in your own way, the same way the beliefs cause people to lose their hair or even die or have knee surgery. Your beliefs get in your way. So those beliefs need to change. So visualization is a really, really effective way at changing beliefs. In the same way that, and it's a really, there's a really easy way to do it, and that is by taking whatever you want to believe, being in that meditative state when you're doing the visualization, and then imagine every cell of your body saying the affirmation or statement. In doing that, it's the same as taking that bulldozer to create a pathway. You're taking a bulldozer to create pathways to different belief systems, because belief systems are neural pathways also. They're associations that become impressions, they're impressions that become associations that become habits and even addictions. In a sense, a belief can be an addiction too if it causes a chemical pleasurable response or negative response one way or the other. It can form an addiction, but it doesn't matter. The point is it's habit forming because of the same functionality of the neural networks that we talked about with habits. Now, the same way you use a bulldozer to change habits, you can use a bulldozer to change beliefs. And the way you do that is when you're in the deep visualizing state and the smart mode state, you imagine every cell of your body saying the belief. Now, let's talk about some of those beliefs. For example, genetics. Most people say, well, it's my genetics. Well, now, if you look at my family, because my family has had serious weight problems. If you look at my family and you look at me when I was 400 pounds, everybody, a doctor, I don't care, would say it's genetics. And if they checked my thyroid would have been slow because I would have been insulin resistant or whatever. It's your hormones. So all of these things were there, but what happened? So my body wanted to be thin. It wasn't my genetics anymore. Why wasn't it my genetics anymore? Because my body turned off the genetic programs that caused you to gain weight for survival reasons, and my body turned on the genetic programs that caused you to lose weight for survival reasons. So genetics are programs that get turned on and off. If you turn on the thin program, you can get your body to want to be thin, and it becomes automatic. So genetics are not the factor. Hormones. If you look at the hormones, there's always a hormonal basis, but there's something behind it. So if you look at your thyroid, there's usually a bigger issue that you're leptin resistant, and you're leptin resistant because of stress or emotional issues or digestion or inflammation. And once those go away, the hormone speeds up. The thyroid speeds up. So those stories are just stories, really, and you can change your beliefs around them. And the way to change your beliefs around them is just imagine every cell of your body saying at the same time the words, weight loss is easy, weight loss is easy, weight loss is effortless, I effortlessly and automatically lose weight. Just make statements like that when you're in a deep meditative state, and you will be creating neural pathways for the belief system that it's easy and effortless to lose weight, and it will take away the resistance of the dysfunctional beliefs that you have that weight loss is hard. And it's very important on this path, because you're taking a path now where you're addressing the real issues. You want to get out of the way. And so you want to examine your belief systems and use this technique that I'm suggesting to change your belief systems that are causing problems. Another really effective way that you can use visualization, and this is a lot of information I'm giving you, I realize, and any one of these could be a webinar on its own, and we can talk more about it in the question and answer sessions in this webinar and also that are coming up in the next couple of days. You can use visualization to strengthen your intuition. So to me, intuition and what we're learning about intuition is that we have this invisible intuition that is not linear in the sense that it can process information that's happening outside of time. So what we've learned from quantum physics is that time doesn't really exist the way we understand it. All time, past, present, and future, is happening right now, and that we have an intuitive faculty that can sense things before they happen. There was an amazing study that was done at the Heart Math Foundation that I think sums up intuition and its non-temporal aspect. And that is that they had people look at a computer screen and images flashed up in the computer screen. They had people hooked up to electrodes that monitored their brain and their heart. Every once in a while, the computer screen would flash a image that would be disturbing. Maybe it's violence, maybe it's graphic, but it would be disturbing. What they found was two things that were amazing. One was that the heart registered an electrical impulse before the brain when that image was being turned over. So basically your heart knew that there was going to be a disturbing image before your brain, before your eyes saw it and said, oh, gee whiz, that's a disturbing image. And what we thought is first your eyes see it, and then your eyes register it, and then you have this thought, gee whiz, that's a disturbing image, and then your heart starts pumping. Well, it's not like that. The heart knew that there was going to be a disturbing image before the brain and the eyes saw it. What was even more amazing about this study at the HeartMath Institute is that both your heart and of the subjects that were there, both their heart and their brain registered the disturbing image before it was flashed on the screen. I'll repeat that. Both the heart and the brain registered the disturbing image before the image was flashed on the screen. That means that your heart and your brain, for that matter, knew there was a disturbing image coming up before it happened. That is, your heart knew what was going to happen before it happened. It knew the future. According to quantum physics, knowing the future is not a big deal because the future exists. It's our mind and our five senses that limits us in thinking that we don't know the future. But we have an intuitive capacity that we can develop that does know the future, that can help make us feel safer. And let me give you an example of how this intuitive capacity can help make you feel safer. So you could be walking down the street, and you walk, and every day you're in the habit of walking left to go to the store, and this little thought comes into your head, don't walk left, walk right. And you could ignore that thought. And if you ignore that thought, because your logic takes over and you say, well, walking left is faster. I always walk left. That's ridiculous. Why should I walk right? Well, maybe you walk right, and if you had walked left, a piano would have fallen on your head. Or you walk to the right and you meet the love of your life or a business partner or a million different things that you can't possibly know. You can't know, but your intuition can know, and your intuition can help make you feel safer. I had an instance a few years ago when I was biking. I used to go on this bike route, and whenever I got to the top of the hill, I would coast down the it was like a victory thing that I did. It was a hard hill, and I would coast down the other side of the hill, and as I coast down the other side of the hill, I would take my hands off the handlebars, and I would reach them in the air the way they do in bike races, and I would let myself race down the hill with my hands in the air. It was very exciting and exhilarating, and I used to do this every day. I got to the top of the hill, I'm about to take my hands off the handlebars, and this little voice inside my head says, don't do that. Hold on to your handlebars. The instant I had that thought, a 6-foot kangaroo came out of nowhere and charged right at me. I had less than a fraction of a second to swerve. I swerved to the other side of the road, and then I smashed into, like, I don't know what, on the other side of the road and back again. I managed to get away with just a few scrapes, but if I didn't have my hands on the handlebars, I would have smashed into that kangaroo. Kangaroos have long talons that they use to disembowel animals when they're threatened. He could have easily disemboweled me, and not because he's a vicious animal, but out of confusion. My life would have been over. It would have been vicious. This little tiny voice in my head, this one time, said, hold on to your handlebars. It saved my life. What is that little tiny voice? Is that something we can develop? Is it something real? Is it chance? It's not chance. There's no way it's chance. That saved my life. I'd never had that thought before. I've never had it again. It saved my life. Now, so we have this intuitive capacity that we even had as a kid that we learn to ignore because we don't pay attention to that in the world. We pay attention to facts and what we can see and hear and feel. So it's atrophied. So we have this sense that's atrophied. You can use visualization and meditation to strengthen your intuition. And the reason why visualization and meditation strengthens your intuition is the same is because your intuition is like a sense that has become weak and atrophied. It's very similar to a lazy eye. A lazy third eye, if you will. So when a kid has a lazy eye, what does the doctor do? So a lazy eye means one eye does not have the same muscle strength as the other eye. So the doctor will put a patch on the good eye for a week. I remember a friend of mine, this happened to a friend of mine, a kid that I was babysitting. He was 5 years old. He had a patch on his good eye for a week, and it forced the lazy eye to become stronger. And so that when the good eye was working with the lazy eye, the lazy eye could work in tandem. It got stronger. Well, meditation and visualization, you're closing your eyes, you're sitting still. It's like putting a patch on your five senses. And and by putting a patch on your five senses, it allows the lazy sixth sense, that is the sixth sense that's atrophy, to become stronger. And what happens is, over time, you develop this intuitive capacity. And this intuitive capacity can make you feel safer in a way that nothing else can. You could be a brilliant stock investor, and you don't know that a bomb's going to blow up somewhere that's going to ruin your stock portfolio. But when you have intuition, you all of a sudden have this feeling, well, you know what, maybe I should take my stocks out, or maybe I should go short the market, or something like that. And then by doing that, you've saved yourself, even though you're not a brilliant stock investor, you've done better than the brilliant stock investor, because the bottom line is intuition is always better than intellect. Intellect cannot possibly compete. And the reason why we're so frantic all the time and trying to understand things and we're so scared is because we know our minds can't protect us from a piano blowing up, falling on our head, from something blowing up and ruining our stock portfolio, from a million different things. Our mind cannot really protect us. Our intuition can. And when you develop your intuition, which will happen automatically through meditation and visualization, you will start to rely on that intuition more and more, and it will help make you feel safer and safer. It's a really powerful way to use visualization and meditation to heal, to help you in every area of your life. Nothing on earth can make you feel as safe as your intuition. And the last thing I want to talk about, we've gone a little bit over time, there's a lot of information here. The last thing I want to talk about is that you can use visualization to help manifest your dreams. When you get really good at visualizing and you manifest and you imagine something successful happening, like a new business opportunity being created, or a great relationship, or getting the house of your dreams, you actually are using the power of your mind to direct you in that direction. Now, some people might say that your mind actually has a force that creates those things to happen. That may or may not be true. We're a long time away from knowing whether that's true. But certainly, it will create actions and habits and steps that will put you in that direction. And I find that better you are at visualizing, the better you are at manifesting your dreams. I've had very tangible experiences of this. When I first lost my weight, I was at this theater called the Burswood Theater in Perth, and it seats about 1,000 people. And some lady was giving a talk. It was Dorian Virtue, I think, from Hay House, and a couple other people. And I thought to myself, I would like to be up on stage here one day telling people about my theories about weight loss. So I used to visualize myself up on stage at the Burswood Theater. I used to visualize lots of great information coming out of me like light, and really inspiring people to go on and have an amazing experience and lose weight and be successful. And all I did was visualize it. I didn't take any actions to create this. And some guy calls me up and says, I'm doing this conference in Perth called the Rebellious Weight Loss Super Conference. I'd like you to speak at it. I said, sure. Where's it going to be? He said, it's going to be at the Burswood Theater. So all of a sudden, I'm up on stage at the Burswood Theater. There's hundreds of people, 600, 1,000, I don't know how many people. I had the most powerful talk of my life. I had just started lecturing, and I didn't have that much experience. I was nervous. It was the most powerful talk I've ever done up until that point. Afterwards, they had to postpone the next two lectures because there was a line of hundreds of people waiting in line to talk to me and to sign the book that they had just bought. They actually had to postpone the rest of the talk for the day for an hour and a half, just to allow the people to come and talk to me. And that all came from a vision. I never called the Burswood Theater and said, hey, Burswood Theater, how much does it cost? Da, 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 da. I didn't do that. I just created the vision, and somehow, miraculously, it happened. A second example that happened in my life is when I saw The Secret, and let's face it, The Secret is a bit hypey, it's a bit showy, but it does talk about the power of the mind. I thought to myself, I'd like the publishers of The Secret to publish my book because they understand the power of the mind, and this is a very tangible example of how you can use the power of your mind to transform your body. And so I would like the publishers of The Secret to publish it and have it spread all over the world. And I used to imagine for a couple of days, really only 3 or 4 days, I imagined that the publishers of The Secret, and I didn't even know who the publishers of The Secret were, I imagined the publishers of The Secret publishing my book and it spreading all over the world. 3 or 4 days into this, I got a call from a literary agent that said, I read your book. I love it. I'd like to represent you. The last book I sold was to a company called Beyond Words. You may not have heard of Beyond Words. They're the publishers of The Secret. I said, okay, you can be my literary agent. He showed it to the publishers of The Secret, who happened to be Beyond Words. They published it. It spread all over the world. It's been translated into 16 languages. It's in 60 countries. All that came from a vision. I didn't go on the internet and say, who's the publisher of The Secret? and call them up and say, I got a great book for you. I didn't do that. I started with a vision. So when you become more powerful at visualizing, you have a tool that you can use not only to heal your body and lose weight, but actually to create success in every area of your life. And that's what I would like for you, is to realize this and to use this tool for manifesting all of your dreams. And the more you manifest your dreams, the more you're living your real life, the more passion you have that flows through you, the more life force that flows through you, the more spirit that flows through you, the more guided you are, the less stress you have, the more fun your life is, and then the weight just falls off you. And let's face it, what could be better than losing weight, because your life is just so fun, so passionate, so exciting, that you're just loving it and you're not having stress, you're having positive emotions, and the weight is just melting off of you. What could be better than that? And you can do that through visualization. Now, there's a visualization that I call the abundance visualization, where you imagine that, just like you, where you imagine that you're in an ocean of white light, you actually imagine that you're in an ocean of abundance. And just one drop of that ocean is more abundance than you could possibly imagine for, like, need for the rest of your life. Just one drop. And you open up these energy channels, and you open up this, your skin, and all this energy comes running in, filling you with abundance, and then going out of your body and creating whatever you want, a mansion if you want that, or a beautiful relationship, or just really health and vitality and happiness. Whatever you want, you're using this in this ocean of abundance. And that leads us to this week's action steps, which is, I would like you to have for the morning visualization, the abundance visualization. I would like you to listen to that in the morning, and I would like you to imagine whatever it is that you want. In the abundance visualization, you can imagine your life force energy flowing, because you've got the light traveling through your body part of it. You can imagine changing beliefs, dysfunctional beliefs. Weight loss is easy and effortless. Imagine every cell of your body doing that. You can imagine creating positive habits. You'll be developing your intuition, and you'll be creating and developing and manifesting your visualization, whatever it is that you want to be creating in your life. So I would like you to listen to the abundance visualization. I'd like you to do also, if you can, an afternoon and evening visualization, just like we talked about in the other days, and just looking through the ongoing steps. These are the ongoing steps. You're all very, very familiar with them. Drink 2 glasses of water, or some juice, a probiotic, have a good breakfast, take digestive enzymes, eat frequent meals during the day, but not at night, eat an early dinner rather, have an afternoon stress reduction visualization, do some sort of fitness a couple of times a week if you can, yoga, tai chi, or get thin or get eaten type of things a couple of times a week, drink lots of water in between meals, listen to the evening visualization. These are the ongoing steps that are going to change your life forever. So you do these ongoing steps, and you've got habits in place that when you want to, or tools in place, if you want to change a habit, you can change a habit. When you want to change a belief, you can change a belief. When your stress levels are going to go down, the emotional issues are going to go down, you're nourishing your body, the inflammation's going down, hormonally things are changing, your fat programs are being turned off, you've developed a positive momentum, you have more energy, and everything flows from there. So that's all I wanted to say for this webinar, but you have all the tools from this, from these action steps, to change your life forever. I'll stay on. We can stay on for another 10 or 20 minutes answering questions. If we don't answer the questions, don't worry, because we have a call-in answer, question answer tomorrow, one of the Ask Johns, and then we've got a second going forward action steps webinar where we're going to take questions on my Saturday, which is Friday in the States, and then we'll be able to answer your questions there. So we're going to give you all the support you need, but really what you need is these ongoing action steps. You need to incorporate them into your life so they become habits, and then you have all the tools you need. It may not happen immediately. It could take months. I spoke to a lady in our support group yesterday that called in that just wanted to give a message to everyone. She had been trying for 5 months. Nothing was happening. All of a sudden, boom, it happened. She's not hungry. She's losing weight. It took that long. It can take that long, but you're losing weight in the real way. You're solving the real problems. Don't look at it as a diet. Don't weigh yourself every day. Focus on changing your body hormonally, changing your body from a mind-body perspective, and you will lose weight, transform your body, transform your entire life. So let's bring Dan in again, and that's it for the webinar. And we have lots of questions. I think we can go for another 11 minutes is how long the webinar goes to. So we'll answer as many questions as we can then, but we will continue to answer the questions in the next 2 sessions that we have in the next 3 days. So, Dan?
Hi, John. Hi, John. I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, Audrey asked a question. It's kind of not related, but she's quite concerned about this. My doctor referred me to a pre-bariatric program, which starts next week. I'm afraid it will conflict with the non-diet approach of GM, especially since you've said that it may take 6 months plus for the benefits of this program to kick in and I start to lose weight. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, I suggest that you get a second opinion from a second doctor, a holistic doctor, because cutting up your stomach or having surgery is a very serious thing. Some people say that there are almost that the stomach is a separate brain. It's got neurons. It's got it can release neurochemicals and neurotransmitters. And when you start going in and cutting up your body, it can have disastrous effects. And I've dealt with the fallout of those disastrous effects from people who have lost maybe a little bit of weight, then they can't lose any more weight. Their stomach is impaired. Their ability to generate neurochemicals is impaired. Their whole neurobiology is impaired. Their digestion is impaired. It's causing chronic inflammation. They're eating next to nothing, and they're not losing weight. It's a disaster. So my suggestion very strongly is not to go against your doctor's opinion, but to find another doctor and get another opinion. And it's a doctor that understands, an integrative doctor. They're called integrative doctors who understand the many different integrative issues of health and weight loss. And you look at your body in what I would consider a more advanced, intelligent way than simply the barbaric way of ripping out your stomach.
Okay, thanks, John. David asks, not sure what my question actually is here, but after doing my morning visualization, it's almost jarring to see myself in the mirror because I don't look like what I have visualized. Is there a way to manage this, or doesn't it matter?
Yeah, that's actually a good thing in a sense. And what the reason why it's a good thing is you're actually changing your body's set point mentally. And if you change your body's set point mentally, it's only a matter of time before it changes physically. So there's that variation, distortion between the image and the reality, but that's just a time thing. So see it as a good thing. See it as the fact that your mind is really adopting this and that your body is adopting this, but it will take time for the weight to be lost.
Okay. Well, Pat asks a similar question. Is it bad if I can't really see my desired future body?
Not necessarily. Just keep practicing. It'll kick in.
Okay. Victoria's question that I asked earlier, and you asked me to repeat, she said, is John going to explain how to use the different visualizations? She meant the other visualizations that we haven't used yet.
Yeah, so the visualizations, I would suggest that you try them, and whichever ones resonate with you, you continue to practice those and revisit different ones as you feel needed. You really can't make a mistake in visualization in that they're all going to help you. They all help create a visual image of the weight melting off of your body. They all circulate your life force energy, help you develop your intuition, help you feel safer, reduce stress. They all do those things, and some of them just subtly specialize in one thing or another. That's great. Just do it. Just do whichever one resonates with you at any one given time. You simply cannot make a mistake.
Okay, thanks. Maureen asks, I'm having a hard time with mental cravings, even though I've been doing the visualizations at least twice a day and lately been saying I love you a ton. I'm still stressed out and try to control my emotions, anger, fear, and stress by binging on food. I know I need to carve new neuro pathways, but don't seem to be able to overcome the absolute terror of being out of control. Do you have any tips?
Yeah, you need to be patient. You need to be patient. You might want to work with an emotional specialist like our emotional release therapy or a meridian tapping expert. These are some of the things like on our coaches' resources, on our coaching site, at our homepage, thegabrielmethod.com. If you go under coaching, there's different types of emotional healing, like the cellular release therapy, also known as emotional release therapy, the tapping, meridian tapping. These are things that you might want to try to get an expert to help work you through some of the emotional issues. Otherwise, listen to the safe and protected visualization and be really patient because the issues haven't been addressed yet. They will. But that's just your way of knowing that it hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Marisol asks an interesting question. Sometimes I may have one of my kids or husband accidentally come into my room when I'm in smart mode. The noise makes me aware of their presence and sometimes pops me right out. Is there any negative consequence or signal that happens if interrupted in smart mode?
You can get back into it. The more you do it, the quicker you get back into it. My kid comes in all the time when I'm meditating. I talk to her. She goes out. I get right back into it. So in the beginning, it takes a long time to get in, and then you get out real easy. As you go forward, it becomes really easy to get in, and it's hard to get out of. So you could be practically talking. You could hear the disruption. You're not going to get out of it. So that's just practice.
Okay. Sharon asks, do you feel intuitive knowing is just another pathway through the woods?
Yes. I definitely think you can look at that. That is that it's strengthening, yes, because it's strengthening areas of your brain that are receptive to intuition. So you are accessing those areas of your brain that are receptive to that, which have atrophied because we haven't accessed them for so long. So yes.
Okay. Marisol asks, is this how tapping or EFT works? Because you are unblocking energy channels by tapping on key meridian points.
Yeah, so nobody knows how tapping or meridian really works, but people believe that it works based on your acupuncture meridians, and that when you tap on them, because you're tapping on specific acupuncture points, when you tap on them and think of an emotional issue, you're somehow releasing it, breaking the connection, disempowering it, and it's able to flow through your energy channels quicker. But the reality is nobody really knows how and why it works, but it does seem to work.
Okay. Sandra asks, I feel like I have made some progress in my eating in the last few weeks, but in the last few days I have reverted back to old eating habits and feeling tired and less motivated. Is this a non-linear process, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, as I'm afraid
Yeah, so that's why I always focus on the action steps in a positive sense. That's why it's no sense beating yourself up if you're taking 2 steps forward, 1 step back. It's no sense worrying about it. Just keep focusing on nourishing your body, doing the visualizations, doing the positive things. So wherever you are, even if you're in the middle of a massive binge, focus on something you can do positive. Don't focus on the bad and start beating yourself up and thinking it's all over and it's off and I'm not doing the Gabriel method anymore. Because if you really think about what the Gabriel method is, all it is it's a sensible way to be really healthy in a mental, physical, and emotional and energetic way. That's all it is. You're never off the Gabriel method. There's no way to get off it. You're just either getting yourself healthy or you're not. And you're always going to be making steps to be healthy in different ways. So wherever you are in the process, if you're in the middle of a huge binge, there's something you can focus on what you can do right then to be healthy. Can you have some sort of healthy chocolate instead of lousy chocolate? Can you do a breathing technique? Can you imagine yourselves, your body saying, I love you? If it happened yesterday, then it's done, you know, and you can still wake up and do your visualizations. You can still have a probiotic. Just focus on the positive action steps. Never, ever consider the negative things that have happened or are happening at the moment. Never consider them. Do not give them a thought or any energy. We had one guy lost a lot of weight, and we did a video with him. I'm forgetting his name right now. He was Mark something, and lost like 150 pounds. And his name was Scott. And we asked him what's one piece of advice you can give people, the biggest. And he said never ever worry about what happened yesterday or even 10 minutes ago. Never worry about it. Stay focused on what he says, the war, not the battle. But what he's saying is never think about it. Don't ever think about whatever's happened yesterday or even 30 seconds ago. You are here right now. What can you do right now to love yourself, to nourish yourself, to heal yourself, to allow your body to feel safe and comfortable let going of the weight? That's all it is. And you can do that at any point, regardless of what's going on.
Yeah, so true. Helika has said, this is not a question, but rather an expression of deep gratitude. 1 month ago, I was taking a handful of different antidepressants and was, and regardless of all of that treatment, close to a suicide attempt. GM was my last hope to improve something, although I have to say I didn't believe in it very much. Anyway, I did all the visualizations every day with no exceptions and added all the good supplements to my meals. I feel a huge difference in my mental state. I started to leave home again, started to smile. Relationship with my son and partner have improved tremendously, and I'm wearing my skinny jeans again. The first time in years. Thank you, John, for saving my life and giving me back my life.
Awesome. That's really beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And Dan, actually, on that note, I think we're going to have to end the webinar. We've gone to the full hour and a half. But save all these questions. And again, thank you for sharing that beautiful story. I wish you tremendous success. Tell me the name of the questioner, the caller.
Halika.
Thank you, Halika, for sharing that beautiful message. That makes me so happy to hear. We have a question and answer session tomorrow, and then on my Saturday, which is Friday in the U.S., we have a wrap-up webinar. So we're going to be doing as much as we can to answer all of your questions, but the beginning and the end of it is stay focused on the action steps now and going forward. Incorporate as many as you can into your life as habits, and they will all kick in. They will all bear fruit in a positive way, allow you to lose weight easily, effortlessly, and manifest the life of your dreams. So thanks, everyone. It's been a huge pleasure working with you over the last 5 weeks. And look forward to talking with you more over the next couple of days. Take care.